Hey y'all, hey, it's your girl Brandy Janae, aka Queen Bee, and we are back with another episode of Who Asked for This? You already know the drill. Didn't nobody ask for it, but I'm giving it to you anyway. On this episode, we are talking Real Housewives of Potomac. Okay, guys, I did not give y'all a Potomac recap last week because episode 3, when I watched it was really like a filler episode, and I really didn't have very much to say. What's a filler episode? Really, it's like one of those episodes that nothing really happens, right? It's just kind of filling in a spot till we get to the next thing, and that was next week. So the girls are in Lake Norman. Don't ask me where that is because I guess, I don't know. I'm not even going to start to try to figure out where Lake Norman is, but it's wherever Mia is from. I know she's told us where she's from, but I'm a little confused about that too. no tea, no shade. Mia, you be lying. In the words of Carlos King, okay? But Mia do be lying. And then when she come back with her truth, it be like, I'm confused. And I can't even go back and try to figure out what it was she said. I don't know. Maybe it's in D.C. The girls had to get on a plane, though, so it's somewhere. Where is Annapolis at? I have no idea. That's a shame. I probably should be better at that. So, here we are. Because when I watched episode 4 this past week, right, it was pretty clear that the girls are coming for Karen's head. They want her head on a platter. And when I say the girls, I really mean Mia and Ashley specifically. It's those two. I don't even think Giselle got it out for Karen the way those two are determined to hold Karen's feet to the fire this season. They are not letting her up. And it did. So what happened, it did kind of start in episode 3. But again, episode 3 was such a filler episode. Not really much happened, but I'm going to just go ahead, try to tell y'all what I remember. So I can give you this tea and let you see how Ashley and Mia specifically, Ashley is kind of, she doing her messy little thing, playing coy, like, oh, I'm not really being messy, but I am being messy. You know, she real good at that. But Mia, honey, Mia is coming for everything. And I feel like Mia puts herself in that position because of the transparency that she has given on the show. I can't really be mad at it, if I have to admit. I can't be mad at somebody holding somebody else's feet to the fire about telling the truth when I got all my business out here, and it is not good business. You know, it's like messy, we got to take DNA test business. You got the whole world looking at your child and this other person you done brought on this show, trying to figure out if he is your child's daddy after you told us you had IVF. That took the cake, honey. Because I thought that, if anything, IVF was a guaranteed way to know who your baby daddy was. I mean, you got to be doing a lot for you to have IVF or IUI, whatever it's called. And then you still need a DNA test to verify who your baby daddy is. Honey, you've been busy in them streets and them sheets. so, listen, I kind of don't fault Mia for going hard at Karen. The thing with Karen is that what people seem to not like is that she presents herself one way and she's something else. Then this thing with Ray. Here's the issue, and I'm kind of fast forwarding because I got some notes and I wanted to kind of go in order, but I'm just going to go right for it. Here's the thing with Karen and Ray. You present yourself, Ray is almost in his 80s, okay? And when you're talking to a bunch of 30 and 40-year-old women, we understand what that means, okay? Now, he didn't just turn 80, right? Or excuse me, he may have just turned 80. What I mean by he didn't just turn 80 is that you married him and he was 60. So that was already there, meaning he already probably was dealing with some of those issues that men deal with when they get older. It just is what it is, much like what women have to deal with as they get older. So more times than not, listen, at the age that Karen is at and at the age that Ray is at, they probably do just fine, right? Because Karen probably, now she might walk around and pretend like she has this banging libido, but her libido is probably, and it just really depends. Now, if she on hormones and stuff, then it probably is out of whack. But if Karen is at the age that she is and is allowing nature to do what nature does, I can imagine Karen is perfectly all right with whatever issues Ray have, because she don't want no sweaty man coming up on her anyway. Okay, get on your side of the bed. We'll do a little cuddle. Don't worry about sticking that thing nowhere, because I don't want it nowhere around me. Yeah, but see, that's not the cool thing, okay? So you're not going to present yourself as that, because at 60 or 62 now, I think she is, and this is for not just her, I think a lot of women go through this, but, you probably are not having conversations where you're wanting to admit that you probably have a low sex drive. And having a low sex drive would really go perfectly with a husband who probably is facing impotence. Right? Because now you don't need him to get it up because you ain't feeling it either. But here's where it becomes a problem when you're around a bunch of spring chickens. Now, 40s is where it get lit, honey. I'm premenopausal, but I still got the juice, okay? If you know what I mean, pun intended. So when you're in your 40s, I'm saying all this to say, there was probably a certain point in which, of course, Ray and Karen has some type of arrangement. When Ray married Karen, he probably was already starting to deal with any type of situation referring to his eggplant, okay? And so I assume that when you marry somebody that's 20 years younger than you, and you know this already, that you've already reconciled in your mind, like, hey, there's some type of arrangement we have to have. Gordon really put it all out on the table with Mia last season. He basically said, like, he didn't want to get a divorce. Like, you can stay, you can have your friend, I just don't want in public. And that was something that Gordon and Mia clearly already had established, that didn't just happen that particular year. So I'm kind of saying the same thing about Karen. Because the age that she was getting married to Ray and the age that he was, I mean, he was already dealing with this. So with that being said, Giselle, Robin's not on the show, but I'm throwing her in. Charisse not on the show anymore this season, but I'm throwing her in. And then a couple of the other girls, I'm leaving Ashley out because I don't really think Ashley grew up in that area. So I'm not sure that Ashley knew Karen prior to being on Real Housewives of Potomac. But the ladies who knew Karen prior to being on Real Housewives of Potomac, these little rumors that they're talking about, she had the she having an affair with Ray, or she got a friend, like, those things were already existed before Real Housewives of Potomac started to air. And I think what happened is, as Karen started to present herself as this matriarch and, you know, prim and proper, it became kind of this thing of wanting to expose her, wanting to see her sweat. People really have an issue with it. And I don't know that if they have an issue with the lying part. I think they have an issue with the part that a person could get away with it, right? That a person could present those, that particular situation, and nobody question it. So I think that the thing was that they just really wanted to get it out. You know, like, of course, Karen's sleeping with somebody else. Ray can't even get it up. Allegedly, right? I'm just saying what I think because of his age. So that's what, let me tell you, that's what this takedown is surrounding. Her with this DUI and then her relationship with Ray. And funny enough, those are the both things that she is not forthcoming about. She doesn't like to talk about. And it sounds like these ladies are going to make sure that they expose her by using whatever information that they have. I'm going to get to it because that happened. This closed out on episode 4 with Mia and Karen. And Mia just really, like, went for the jugular. I got a lot to say about Mia too, but let me just go here and let me breeze through episode 3 real quick. So of course it opened up with Giselle completing to kick out Stacy, Mia, and Jassy. Stacy is overwhelmed because she's never been put out anywhere. And Stacy is like Sweet Valley High girl. She is of African-American descent, but she is very Sweet Valley High. And if you've seen Sweet Valley High, if you ever read the books, then you know what I mean. So she was very offended that anybody would ask her to leave and furthermore go get security to enforce her to leave. So with that, you know, Ashley was a little messy bringing the QR code to the Sprinter that the girls got in, you know, talking about, well, do you want to donate? Ashley, you could have kept that. It was so, like, low hanging fruit for me, and you really could have kept it. But it seemed like it was one of those messy people, one of the messy guests that they had around that kind of egged her up. And, you know, Ashley and Messy is just, like, they go together, like kids and Messy. It's like her. She is going to be messy. She's going to let somebody talk her into being messy. Like, she going to do it every time, and she not even going to care. So that's kind of how that ends off. Giselle put the ladies on up out of there, and the ladies are not happy about it. Then we go check in with Wendy. Wendy is checking in with her family. We check in with Kiara, her man, Jazzy. Meets with Ashley and Karen at Stacy's house, and they discuss being put out of Giselle's party, which Karen, you know, even that, Karen took no responsibility about having this extra invite be thrown into these ladies and basically putting them in this position where they had to do one or the other. Now, did Giselle have to get security and actually, like, kick those ladies out? No, she didn't have to. Like, and maybe that was a bit much. Like, maybe even if the ladies had got there 5 till, you know, whenever the event ended, maybe that would be just fine, as long as they showed up, right? However, to go out your way and actually put them out just seemed like it caused a scene that was unnecessary. But Karen took no responsibility for putting those ladies in that position. And she basically took, you know, of course, not taking responsibility for how Giselle threw them out, basically. But what I am thinking, what Karen's plot is, Karen has her eye on Giselle, right? Because Karen is looking for Giselle to be the one with the dagger ready to come. Oddly enough, Giselle is not. I'm really enjoying Giselle this season thus far. We're only at episode 4, but I am enjoying just her interaction with the girls. Here's what. She doesn't have a sidekick there, so she does have to figure out a way to get along with all these girls. And Carlos King called it right. He called Giselle what he termed a force multiplier. And what I think he means by that is, as one person, she is kind of the person that can get it popping with the whole group, right? But in order to do that, you gotta be getting along with everybody, or everybody needs to be your friend, right? And that kind of happens for Jazelle pretty naturally. So like with her and Wendy not at each other next, they getting along really good. Like I said, I'm enjoying Jazelle. Jazelle is actually kind of showing up as like a peacemaker. So I'm saying that to say with Karen, why Karen is waiting on her to attack, waiting on Jazelle to attack her. Jazelle, by her losing her friend, Robin, Jazelle is like, okay, I'm not finna come for Karen. And I also think that Karen and Jazelle, because they've known each other for so long, right, and started this show together, I think Jazelle has a loyalty to Karen that's like, hey, this is what it is. It is public, but like, I'm not gonna come for you. Like, I'm gonna try to look out for you. Like, she does not seem to be as interested as Mia or Ashley or any other person is in finding out whether Karen has a drinking problem or not, because that seems to be the theme. And that had been the theme prior to this season. There's been about two seasons where, you know, they kind of were alluding to Karen having a drinking problem. So because she had a DUI this year, it kind of just kind of like take the lid off the pot, you know, type of deal where it's ready to boil over. So it gives some of those ladies who've been waiting on it, it gives them free game to come and question you about it and bring it up. Mia specifically, because I got all these notes that I'm just rambling and I really don't feel like going through note by note. Let's see, what else did I put? Oh, yeah, so this is all at Stacey's house. Well, so Ashley attempts to hold Karen's feet to the fire. But, of course, Karen deflected and brought her bunion into it, okay? Which Karen is very good at changing the subject. Here's the thing. This is the reason why it's going to work for Mia to come for Karen and not Ashley. Ashley, you got your own mess that you tried to keep under the rug between you and that husband of yours, because they're not divorced yet, and I'm not thinking they're going to get divorced. I got a feeling they're going to stay legally married for quite some time, but they probably off dating, screwing, and which they was doing that anyway, so it's not any different. They just don't share the house together. And okay, then cool. Keep everybody, you know, sane. But, Ashley, you're not going to be the one that's going to be able to call Karen out, because it's going to be very easy for her to turn it around about your husband. I mean, yeah, it was all, this is the only season. Last season, he wasn't on there either. Y'all were finally getting this divorce. You finally filed. And so we have not had to see Michael on the show. He seems to doesn't want to have anything to do with it. And that's fine with all the viewers. Don't get me wrong. But what I am saying is that we ain't forgot that up until his departure, up until you filed for divorce, which is why you filed for divorce, need I remind you, Michael was in the press for squeezing butt, touching butt, kissing butt, hotel room, you know, all of this kind of crazy stuff with men, allegedly. You know, y'all had to go on Fox 5 and do a whole interview about him pinching one of the cameramen's butts from the actual show. So with that being said, yeah, Ashley, you got your own stuff to clean up, worry about, keep under the rug, and really you should keep your mouth buttoned up, because you got a lot of dirt that you don't want nobody bringing up. So that's why it's not, like, it's never going to look good when you try to hold Karen's feet to the fire, because nobody was able to hold your feet to the fire. That is the reason why it works with Mia. Now, one thing about Mia, baby, Mia coming for the throne, honey. She, and not just the throne, because that's no different than any other person that gets on these housewife shows. Like, most of the time, you know, everybody want to be the HBIC. However, Mia is coming like, I'm not only the HBIC, like, I'm going to have my own show when it's all said and done. I wouldn't be surprised if somehow they give her some sort of spinoff. Don't ask me what the spinoff going to be about. It might be about her and Ink getting ready to get married if they get married, okay? If she get a divorce fast enough. But all I'm saying is, I see it. Like, Mia is about to be the front of that show, the face of that show, which she is in the middle. She's in the middle on the cast photo. But here's, okay, but back to why it works, that she can call Karen out and it works, because she's spilling all her tea. I was going to that. Like, she learned, and she learned really easy or really quickly. Like, okay, I'm gonna spill my own tea. And there's a lot of tea to be spilled, clearly. But she gonna spill it herself. And that's the smartest thing you could do. Because one thing about it, like, I think Funky Dineva said, I listened to him on YouTube, but it's like, I'm not gonna let nobody spray me with my own tea. So if I know that I got something going on, I know it because it's my tea, right? And I come into a group of people where there's another person who might have the same information. Well, let me go ahead and put my own business out, because it do sound different, especially depending on what the business is. It sounds different coming from another person, right? And when another person is telling your business, it does look like you are being untruthful about something. So Mia, with this whole Gordon thing, she can't keep Gordon under control because he is bipolar. And for that, like, I don't think this thing with Ink was ever really supposed to be out. I think that was, like, here's what I really believe about this Ink thing. Ink has always been around, because, again, it doesn't make any sense to me at all that you are married and you are going through IUI, IVF, IUD. I know these all have different meanings, and I think she said IUI. As a female especially, I'm trying not to be insensitive about that when I'm speaking about it. However, all I really kind of can know in my mind when I hear that, when you've done IUI, IBD, IVF, is that there is a very specific process happening to get you pregnant and get you to the point where you are able to have a baby. Very specific things happening. For you to be able to entertain the fact that there is another man outside of your husband that thinks he could be the father of said child that you had during that procedure of IVF, IUI, that thing. Because it's so specific, those are very specific details that happen, very specific procedures that happen. So it seems that there wouldn't be a question about it. The fact that she is leaning to there is a question about it would say to me, this guy has been around, same as Karen and her relationship with Ray. And that's why Karen calls her marriage an institution. Excuse me, again, I explained this on a previous video before, but Karen refers to her marriage as an institution as a way of letting people know, like, we're not going anywhere. And it doesn't matter what you bring to the table. That's an institution. Mia, on the other hand, Mia caught a big fish. And here's the reason why I like Mia for all her transparency. I like Mia because clearly she wants to be a star and she's willing to do whatever it takes to be one. And I like the fact that she's using her own life to do it. Like, she's not running around purposely trying to pull out other people's problems, expose them. Like she's not being mean-spirited about anything. Even with talking to Karen, like, she's not coming at her in this mean way. She's coming at her in the way where, because my stuff is on the table, I can come and ask you about yours. Because there is nothing you can pull out of my bag. The bag is already emptied on the table. I'm okay with that. I can deal with that. I prefer to have those types of interactions, right? What I don't like about Mia is, like, you just try to twist everything around to make you out to be, I don't know, like this innocent person. And, like, you're not innocent in this, girl. Like, you worked at a strip club. And if we remember when Mia first came on Real Housewives of Potomac, she made a statement about, yeah, Gordon was the man that would walk around the club in his socks with no shoes on. Okay, she said that. And then at the time, she said it as this joking thing. It was like this, the cute old guy. You know, he just liked to walk around with his shoes. Well, fast forward to today, that was him in his manic, you know, state. Then she uses airtime to speak about Gordon and speak about him being in this bipolar state in this very negative way. I take it negative. I mean, she's not, like, necessarily dogging him out, but she is in my eyes, because, like, the things she say, her and Jacqueline and Jacqueline's partner, whoever she found to bring on the show, honey, went to the Airbnb that Ink rented for Mia, and we're discussing Gordon. What did she say? She said, oh, yeah, well, he forgot his coffee cup, and all of a sudden he needed his coffee cup. He just couldn't do without his coffee cup. So she's detailing the fact that Gordon lives in the same building with them, and Gordon is very involved in their daily life. So Gordon still comes by every now and then. It's okay for them all to be together. So we found out that on New Year's Eve, Mia, Ink, Gordon, and the kids, they all together. And I agree with Giselle on this. Like, Gordon is confused. Not only does he have bipolar, thank you very much, but he is confused because you seem to be confusing him. Because you're confusing us, and we're watching it. And you're telling us half of the truth. So, we know your kids is running around like, poor things. Going back to, that's what Giselle was talking about. Because even I got a side eye. As a viewer, I'm judging. Yes, I am. Because, yeah, girl, like I said, this whole season, them producers spanning over Ink's face, then spanning over your son's face. Like, those are kids. He should not be in the middle of that. And he should not be on the topic of my podcast and anybody else's podcast about who the paternity of his dad is. Like, that's so rude. And you really sold him out, Mia. Like, you sold him out, you know, for a little change. But going back to the Gordon thing. So I don't like that Mia does that. She puts him in these positions where, of course, she's depicting him being, quote unquote, unbalanced, right? But it's kind of like, but you met him unbalanced. And even though you may not have known it was bipolar, like, there was no term associated with the behavior that you were witnessing, but you witnessed the behavior. And it wasn't important to you because you caught a big fish. You just was looking at what it is he could give you. So now you're describing these manic moments with Gordon where, like, she says the G-Wagon he bought when they went to, I can't remember, on Wendy's trip, I think season before last, they went somewhere. Oh, as a matter of fact, that was her first season. So, same, her first season coming in. They took this trip, Wendy did a trip, and Gordon kind of bursted out that Mia's birthday was coming up, and he custom designed her a G-Wagon that is being dropped off. I think the guy called or something while they were filming. And so now Mia is depicting that story as one of his manic episodes. He went and paid for the G-Wagon in cash, and she's saying, like, I've had to bail us out so many times. Well, of course the producers do what they do best, which is go get the clip and run it. So they go back and run that clip where Gordon is talking about her getting this G-Wagon. Now, let me tell you, even at the time, I remember thinking, well, that's odd. Like, Gordon seemed to want to make it clear how much money he had. But so did Mia. Mia was running around calling herself a CEO, basically position shaming. I'm going to just call it position shaming or, you know, like corporate shaming everybody else for not having CEO as a title, for not being a boss. I haven't heard her say CEO or boss since she ain't said this season or last season, which rightfully so, because here you is in somebody else's bed, laying up under somebody else while they are footing the bill. Now, don't get me wrong, she getting some money from Real Housewives of Potomac, but this is a girl who, whatever man she with, that man is taking care of her, okay? Back to this Gordon thing, though. So, you know, so my thing is, we all fully remember seeing you very happy to accept the G-Wagon, and I can understand, hey, okay, you don't want to embarrass your husband. Like, you knew he was having a manic episode. Nobody else did. Nobody understood why he blurted out he was getting you this G-Wagon outside of just, you know, bragging about what he's able to do and how much money he has, same as what you were doing. You were very happy to accept it. You were very happy to, you know, kind of blush and revel in that whole thing. And what I find most important is, even after the scenes, after the fact, what you didn't say right now on this season, when you brought up that G-Wagon that he paid cash for, that put y'all in a bind that you had to pull y'all out of, what you didn't say was, I turned around and turned that G-Wagon back in. That's why you never saw me driving it. Because we weren't supposed to get that. He was in a manic episode. I have to go take things back that he goes and buy. No, you, ma'am, were taking advantage of that man. Then, last week, I think it was, she put out this post about being preyed on, is what she said, that Gordon had preyed on her. So she's reiterating that she was only 19 when they met. Yeah, you was 19, because we got that part of the story, right? You worked in the strip club that served steak and lobster, and y'all wore ball gowns. Remember that? And you met Gordon, who walked around the strip club without any shoes on, okay? You knew what you were doing. Now, like I said, you may not have known he had a mental problem, which I don't know why, because somebody walking around a strip club with no shoes on can't get my attention. I don't care how much money you got, because I'm going to think you're going to try to had me running around that same way, and I don't do that. I got better manners than that. That right there let me know we don't mix. But let's just say you ignore that. I just don't get it. I don't get it. People can't tell me a story and hit from the conception, you should have known. You should have known better. And you want me to have some type of sympathy for you at this point. Because I think Gordon was the prey. I think it's really ironic that you would insinuate that he preyed on you because of the climate we're in with women, women's rights, fights going on. I mean, listen, these are serious things. What I don't like is somebody taking advantage of that, like trying to skew a story so it can fit a particular narrative so that nobody questions you about stuff. But the thing is, Gordon definitely had to be a significant age difference of over you at 19. And so that's one offense that Gordon did commit. However, you have already admitted that he's had these manic episodes since the conception of y'all meeting. So you are the one, ma'am, who you say were in your right mind, even at 19, being young, impressionable. You were impressed by his money. You went ahead and entered a relationship with him because you were getting money. He was paying you. That's the reason why Ink found out about him buying your car, because you got him to sign on the car because you needed a car. You probably was telling Ink, like, right, I'm making money, not realizing that it's this guy giving you the money, this one guy that's giving you the money, because you've established a relationship with him in which he's paying you for your time. This is out of her mouth now. She said he was paying her for her time, because she said when he came to the strip club, she never had to take her clothes off. He just wanted her to sit and talk. That's what she said out her mouth. Again, also said she didn't know he was manic or bipolar or that anything was wrong with him at that point in time. You thought that a man walked in a strip club where women take their clothes off all day, the whole shift, and this man walked in here and he wanted to sit and talk to you with all your clothes on? Yeah, you the damn fool. And you thought you was taking advantage of him when, well, yeah, you thought you was taking advantage of him. And the whole time, he's not taking advantage of you because he has a mental illness. But the whole time, you're the one getting egg on your face because he's mentally ill. And so because you looked at what he could do for you and you ignored his behavior, that would kind of say to you, something ain't quite right. The elevator is moving, but it doesn't go all the way to the top. Maybe I should back up off of this. I think this is what I think, because again, Mia coined it all out. Go look at her interview with Carlos King also. So listen, like I said, her and Ink broke up. They were high school sweethearts. They broke up, according to her, because he saw the car note came in the mail, and the car note had Gordon's name on it. He co-signed, which that is true. You co-sign for somebody, both names come on the bill. So his name came on the bill. They broke up. Now, Mia is doing this because at the time, Ink is trying to start his DJ career. That she said on the show that he moved because he wanted to, something about his DJ, he wanted to go to another market for DJing. But no, they broke up because she was screwing the old man at the strip club and he was buying her car. Like, that's what happened. And if Ink at the time, you 19, 20, Ink at the time is 20, 21, any 20, 21-year-old man, absolutely, you sitting up here screwing the old man at the strip club, like, yeah, you keep doing that, and I'm going to go over here. So, that's that. Now, but she always loving. So now you get with this guy. Now you end up finding out that he manic. Now that's what I really would love to know is that what time frame, how long did it take for her to know that medical diagnosis of him? Because clearly, when he was in his manic episodes, you reaped all of the benefits. And you were very happy with that. That is what made you fall in love. So back to what I've got said all of this for is now she's got this post up last week where she is again saying that Gordon took advantage of her, that she was 19. She had no idea what she was doing and what choices she was making. And it's just like, girl, bye. Details some of the financial abuse. And, don't get me wrong. None of this is warranted or deserved. But what I do think is that when you walk into certain spaces, you walk in the space. Like, if you go, what they say, hell is hot. You know what I mean? Like, you go into hell, it's hot. You're gonna burn. Like, that's the same with that. Like, you walked into a relationship in which you wanted to take advantage of this guy for his money. So you got what come behind that. And sometimes it's more than money. You got mental issues. You might have some possessive person. Yes. And financially, I tell women this all the time. If you go for a man based off of finances and that guy understands that, he is certainly going to use his finances to control you. Certainly. So I would never, ever give any guy the impression that there's an amount of money that could get me to do anything different than what I would do on my own free will, on my own accord. And most people need to think about it. I had a friend, I just told just last week, I don't chase money. And I know that sometimes when people hear me say that, low level thinking, when they hear me say that, it's like, oh, you must like being broke. Oh, you know, and it's like, no, you don't understand. What I understand is money is the root of all evil. Money is the root of all evil. And if you don't believe it, just take a look at what's going on in the news with these celebrities who has all of this money. Okay? Money is the root of all evil. I learned that lesson very young, very early. And that lesson has stayed with me. 'Cause even at the time when I learned it, I wasn't making money. I didn't have money. I might have been like 5. I am not really sure I had a concept of what money really was, honestly. But I knew it was the root of all evil. So what happened is that I didn't develop a love for it. I didn't develop this thirst to have it. Now, do I like nice things? Yes. Do I need more money? Yes. As I'm working my jobs, am I looking at how much they paying me? Yes. All those things are true for me also. But I don't chase money. I don't chase money because I'm never going to give my employer, my friend, my kids, my partner, nobody. I'm never going to give anybody the impression that they can pay me to do anything, because you can't. And that's it. Because you can't. People who love money has a price tag on their head for everything. You could pay them to betray a person. You could pay them to betray themselves. You could pay them to do wrong. You could pay them to sell their body. You could and people don't see it that way because they think, well, I haven't made those choices to make money. but they're not looking at what their desire for money is. And that is the reason why it's the root of all evil, because the desire to get to the money is what'll have you jumping in holes and in lakes that you weren't supposed to be in. So I make that very clear. I don't chase money. I don't chase money. I chase my goals, my dreams. I chase God. I chase my faith. I use money as a tool to get the things that I need in this world. I don't chase money. Chasing money will have you in a bad position every single time. Why? Because money is the root of all evil. It just is what it is. And that is what it means. Money is the root of all evil. Not some, not a portion, not a fraction, but all. And that is what I mean. If you chase money, that means a person can pay you to do anything. I don't want nobody around me to ever think you can pay me to do anything. I have morals and standards that go beyond money. I have turned down things because they didn't fit my future. I turned down Section 8 because I'm not going to let nobody tell me where I can live. Okay, that's a side note. We'll say that story for another day. But yeah, so back to Mia. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't really like that. I don't like that she won't just be honest about that. Because we, like, that's the one thing you're not going to be able to take that away. And as you're telling the story, you're telling on yourself. To anybody who with good ears that listen, okay, I listen, and I listen with both parts of my brain. And what I mean is sometimes people, when you like people, you hear their side of the story, and you just take their side as truth because you like them. And so you liking them, you trust them, liking them, you know, you want to believe them, all of that. Me, I listen with both sides of my brain. So I'm going to hear what you got to say, and I'm going to listen for the stuff I feel like I'm missing. And if I can't get the missing pieces, then I'm going to come up with my own conclusion. But I never really make a final decision just based off of my like for a person. I try to be fair and listen to both sides. Now, look here, y'all. I done told y'all what I wanted to know, even though I spent all of this time writing notes so I could try to have this podcast flow a little better, because I'm working on it. Guys, it's just me. I don't have a producer, and I really don't have the time to go back in and edit this, so it's not as long, but I appreciate you for listening anyway. Let me just get to where episode 4 ends, because I basically went all off on a tangent about Karen and Mia, which Karen and Mia are carrying the season thus far. We're only 4 episodes in thus far. Ashley is trying to comfort Stacy. Stacy is acting a little boring. Stacy not boring. Stacy just don't have no drama going on, really, outside of dating this guy who might be gay. Or had been gay, or bisexual is the correct term. Now, she didn't say that on the show, but what she did say is he's a devout Christian. They are not intimate. They had a scene together. We got to meet him on episode 4. She asked him if he wanted to sleep with her, like if he had a desire, because they're not being intimate, they're practicing abstinence. And she said, on a scale of 1 to 10, like, how bad do you want to sleep with me? And he said, like, apple. And so she's like, well, what is that, right? Because it's a scale of 1 to 10. Where the hell did apple come from? And he's like, that means not at all. Well, I'm looking like, well, that's a little strange, because you are, like, dating this person, right? So, Stacy girl, that's just your friend, honey. Like, do not get caught up in thinking that y'all gonna get something started once you get this divorce filed, because clearly he's not interested. I don't think you his type, girl. And I'm just leave it at that. Oh, that's because in her confessional, she say, well, he has been, I think the producer asked Stacy, had he been, like, was he a virgin? And so she said, no, he's not a virgin. He has been intimate with a partner before. He just wants to wait until marriage to be intimate with a woman. I thought that that phrase was telling. And what it told me was that the man was bisexual and that he probably had not had sex with the female, that he is wanting to get married. And because he's a Christian, marriage looks like a man and a woman to him. And so that's why he's waiting until he get married so he can follow those rules that way. Listen, I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. And I didn't watch too much TV for somebody to think they're going to pull the wool over my eyes, especially after the Kardashians duped us the way they did. Never again, honey. Never again will any reality show have me watching it while you got a cross-dressing man upstairs that come on the TV every week. No, we're not doing that. I'll be finding out things way ahead of time, okay? Anyhow, so that happened. Now, let me just get to the point with Jacqueline. With Mia. Mia coming for Karen because Karen tried to come for Jacqueline. Jacqueline is Mia's friend. And clearly they have something. Well, they've known each other since they were kids. There is something that's with them. Mia brought Jacqueline on her first season. Threw Jacqueline right up under the bus, which it was hard to watch somebody's friend treat them that way. I apologize. I had to. Sorry. Okay, she threw her under the bus that first season, which was really sad to watch happen because they are childhood friends, real friends. I think Mia, like, lived with Jacqueline's family. But here's the thing. It's something like, of course, all the girls is calling Jacqueline her sidekick, Mia's sidekick, which that kind of came on from day one until Mia, like, threw her under the bus. So at some point they did make up because she said they fight like sisters. They take showers together and they share rooms together. Okay. But last season, Jacqueline seemed like she was coerced into accepting responsibility for Mia's SA. Here's what I figure. Mia's the HBIC. She gonna let everybody around her know it, including her friend group. When it comes to Jacqueline, she came for Karen because Karen is coming for Jacqueline. And Karen feels like she can come for Jacqueline because Mia already threw her under the bus. But Mia seems to have that's my friend. I can treat her like shit if I want to. You can't. Type of deal going on. I think it's a bit much for both of them, but Karen balked up on wrong tree thinking that she could come for Jacqueline because Mia on that ass. And because Mia don't have a problem spreading her tea, it's going to be a problem for Karen because Karen not going to be able to deflect and push something off on Mia that's going to upset her or make her not want to discuss it. Because Mia's, it don't get no worse than the child you had with IUI being, her paternity being questioned by some other man. Like, yeah, that's full exposure, disclosure, and everything else in between. Anyway, guys, I did do a lot of rambling on this particular on this particular episode, and I apologize. I really have just wanted to get my feelings for Mia and Karen, I guess, off my chest. That's really all that did happen on episodes 3 and 4. Like I said, really wasn't a lot. 3 was basically a filler episode, and 4 is the filibuster. I think that things are going to come to a head within the next 2 episodes. Probably, they probably going to kick off next episode and round up on episode 6. So, in the meantime, in between time, make sure you are following me wherever I can be followed. Facebook, Instagram, you can follow me on Who Asked For This Podcast. You can follow me on TikTok, Who Asked For This Podcast. And you can follow me on YouTube, which is Brandy Janae TV, BJBD TV, on YouTube, okay? Thank you so much for your support, and I will catch you later.